The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, the Nishmat Rabbanit Sarah bat Ya'el. Ruach Hashem tenihenna began Eden. Amen. Begin today's daf on Sadi Amud Bet. And we are going to begin 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom. Tara Rabbanan. Hachosem et para. Person makes hasima ter para. Rashi says, Velo he'avira ala disha. You didn't bring him to the threshing grounds. You just put the muzzle on him and somebody else took him to the threshing grounds. So he did like half a job there. V'hamizaveg b'kil'ayim. We know that you're not allowed to put a shor and a hamor together, two different animals. So let's say the person put the animals together but didn't take it to the plowing ground. So again, he only did half a job. Now she says, V'chen ha-mizaveg, shor v'hamor, l'karon, to the carriage, uba havero v'nig, and then his friend came and guided them, patur harishon, v'eno chayav el hadash. Only the one that actually made the threshing, that brought it to the threshing, he gets the sur, de'lo tadush b'hasima ka'amar rahmana. As we learned earlier, that the Torah's isur is not necessary to put a muzzle on. The isur is that he shouldn't be muzzled while he's threshing. Only the one that's guiding it and leading it at the threshing is going to be asur. So these cases over here, the guy did half a job, the Gemara's din is patur, ve'en loke ela dash umanhig bilvad. Only the guy threshing and the manhig, the guiding one of the animals of Kilahim.
Even though he put it on.
What is that?
Even though he only does Hatsi Malacha.
Even though he did Hatsi Malacha, but that's the key. Bottom line, you threshed when it was muzzled, and you plowed when it was together. Gemara continues, itma. Hasma bekol. Let's say you made muzzling with a voice, meaning you kept on telling the animal, stop, stop. And the animal was trained. Every time it heard stop, it didn't eat. Or you made a noise. You know, you made it to scare it. So it was basically muzzled, but you didn't put a muzzle on it. You did it with a voice. Hasma bekol. And she says, Keshaita shocha le'echol, when the animal was bowing down to eat, he screamed at it, and therefore it jumped up. Or for that matter, you took a shor and a hamor and put it together. You didn't pull it over the field to plow with it. You just screamed and the animal went on its own. So the deen is machloket. Rabbi Yochanan amar hayav, Rish Lakish amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan hayav, Rish Lakish patur. Rabbi Yochanan amar hayav, akimat piv havya ma'aseh. He holds that by opening your mouth, that's considered already a ma'aseh. We have a general rule. You don't get malkut unless it's a lav shiyesh bo ma'aseh, that there's an action attached to it. So here, the Gemara says, the talking is considered, the moving of the mouth and the jaw, that's considered already a ma'aseh to be hayat malkut. He says, nah, it's verbal, it's voice. That's not considered a ma'aseh to make him obligated in malkut. Tosfot over here has a question. He proves some other places that Rabbi Yochanan holds that verbal is not a ma'aseh. For example, in the case of a person, let's say, cursing somebody. So the cursing is just verbal. He holds you wouldn't get malkut in such a case. It's just a verbal. It's not a ma'aseh. And here Rabbi Yochanan says, it is a ma'aseh. So Tosfot explains the hiluk. That over here, exactly. The verbal resulted in an action of the animal moving. So that a verbal that leads to an action is considered like a ma'aseh. Right? So therefore, you're going to be hayav in such a case by hasima at least. So comes the Gemara and says, Eti be Rabbi Yochanan Shtakish. So Rabbi Yochanan asks the Shtakish. He says, it's no malkut. He says, Lo she'adam rashai lehamir. Now we know, the deen over here is talking about, in this case, of the deen of Timurah. What's the deen of Timurah? You have an animal that's Kodesh. Torah says, you're not allowed to switch the kiddusha of this animal to another animal. But if you do, v'hayahu utmurato kodesh. Both of them are going to be kodesh. Look at the top of the sheet. Reshad matnitin hakol memirin echad anashim v'echad anashim. Anybody could follow the law of Timurah. a man, a lady, can be subject to this law. That what it says, everybody does it. Not that he should do it, not allowed to do it. Meaning, if they did it, the kedusha will hit on the chulin animal. Now you have two animals. Again, you had an animal that was Kurdish. Guy came along and said, he doesn't want to keep this. He wants to keep this animal for himself. Let me transfer this kedusha to this animal. Guess what? Both animals now become Kurdish. So the deen is anybody can do that. A man, a lady. So it says, lo she'adam rashai, I mean, not that we're telling him to do that. Ela shim himir mumar. But if he did it, it's considered transferred. V'sofeg et ha'arba'im, and you get malkut. Even though it's only verbal. So you see over here, Rabbi Yohanan asks a question. You see, verbal is gets malkut. Amad le, he said, don't ask me a question from that. Hamani, who's the author of that Mishnah? Rabbi Yudai. The Amar, lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. Rabbi Yudai is famous throughout Shas. He owes even a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, you get malkut. And that's going quite his opinion. Now, look at Rashi, v'sofek et ha'arba'im. What's the lo ta'aseh over here? Mishum lo yahalifenu. That says don't switch. That's the question. It's an action. Gemara answers Rabbi Yudai. In some places, the source of his lav she'embo maaseh is from the isur of lo totiru mimenu ad boker. By, let's say, Korban Pesach, it says, you're not allowed, or let's say by any korban, there's a certain time limit, right? Lo totiru mimenu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave it over till the morning. Anyway, so the Torah says lo totiru mimenu ad boker. Lo totiru mimenu ad boker, but it's a strofus. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, you're not going to get malkut. Why? Because it's a lav anitak. What's a lav anitak? Any lo ta'aseh that you could fix, you don't get malkut. So it says, don't leave it over. But if you leave it over, you have a mitzvah to burn it. So since you could fix it, you don't get malkut if you left it over. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. But what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? Only because you could fix it. But if you weren't able to fix it, you'd get malkut, even though leaving over there's no ma'aseh. So this, we see that Rabbi Yehuda must hold that lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. The only reason why he was poted lo tatura minu ad boker, because it can be fixed the next day by Shasrofu. But if you couldn't fix it, you'd get malkut. So therefore, the Shtakish comes along and says, don't ask me a question about Mishnah. That Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, the case of Timura. That's why he gets malkut. Because he owes lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. So the Gemara says, wait. Umi matzit mukmat la. Rabbi Yehuda? Are you able to say that Mishnah indeed is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Why not? V'haketani resha, hakon memirin echad anashim. V'had anashim, which means everybody can be subject to the law of Timura, men and ladies. V'avinan ba, hakon la'atuyeh mai, which is hakon, everybody. Who's it coming to include? La'atuyeh yoresh. Even a inheritor, that means if a person inherited an animal from his father, that was Kurdish, and the son comes along and takes the animal and makes timurah to another one, yes, it'll both of them will be Kurdish. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like that. Udlo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Di'i k'Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar yoresh eno memir. Yoresh eno somech. Rabbi Yehuda holds, a yoresh cannot do two things. He cannot be subject to the laws of timurah, meaning even if he says, the kedushah should go to the other animal, it doesn't go. And a yoresh cannot be somech, his hands on his father's animal. The law is, the owners have to make simicha with the hands on the animal. A son or a yoresh cannot be somech for the one that gave him the animal. So the point is, this Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Yehuda. Because in the same Mishnah, it talks about that a yoresh can make temura. And here we know Rabbi Yehuda says it does not work. So how do you tell this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Haitana, sabad la kevate behada, upalika le behada. No problem. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, this Tana. In one point, in the point of lav she'en bo ma'aseh, you get malkut, and he argues with him on another point, no problem. The Tana took Rabbi Yehuda for one item and disregarded him for another item, took him in opinion for another item. Kamuz Gemaran says, Tana Rabbanan, ha'chosem et ha'para ve'dashba loke u'mishalem dalet kabim le'para ve'gimel kabim le'hamor. Okay, you rented an animal. para. And you threshed it and you muzzled it. So you basically stole from the animal food. So now you owe the animal, or you owe the owner, food. So how much food do you have to compensate the owner? So it says, first of all, he gets malkut. And he has to pay 4 kav of whatever it is to the cow, and 3 kav for a hamor. That's a shi'ur that they eat. So Kavir Gavaran says, V'ha inu loke umit, v'inu loke umishalim. We have a standing rule throughout Shas. Once you get mitah, you don't have to pay. Once you get malkut, you don't have to pay. Which means, we have the general rule, you give him the strong of the two punishments, kevan shelaka, eno mishalem. So you tell me this guy that made chasima, give him malkut, absolutely. But why are you making him pay now? No, making him pay? But you're right, but it's a result of the chasima. If it's a result of the chasima, so he's getting punished for the chasima already. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye Hamani, who's the author? Rabbi Meiri. Very good. That Tana is going like Rabbi Meiri. You do pay, and you do get Malkut. That's in Makot. The case over there is, she brings the case down. Me'idim anu al ish peloni shehayav lahavero matayim zuz. You have witnesses over here that come along and say, we testify this guy owes his friend 200 zuz. And they found that to be zomimim. That means they were discredited. So the law is, you make the, first of all, you give them malkut for being false witnesses, and you make them pay. So he holds the kiyom mishalem. His proof is from the case of Edim Zomimim. So there's Mishnah over that says that the guy that makes chasima gets malkut has to pay is a bimir. Gemara gives a difference. Rava Amar, etnan asrat Torah va'afilu ba'al immo. Wow. So Rava comes along and says like this. Etnan is the law that if a person goes with a zonah, the payment that he gives the zonah, let's say he pays the zonah with a sheep, that sheep is forbidden to be used as a korban. Yeah, you cannot use it as a korban. Etnan zonah. Oh, he gave him money. The money cannot be bought and used as a korban. It's called etnan zonah. That is forbidden. So the question is now, Rava says, what about a person that was ba'al immo, that had bi'ah with his mother and paid? So how would you look at that money? So that she discusses this. She says, v'natan la tele. He gave his mother a sheep, be'etnan, as payment. Etnanu, it's considered a payment. The asul korban. The etnan stamakitiv. The Torah says etnan. La shena immo, lo shena pinuya. Doesn't matter if it's with his mother or it's a single girl. Now, even though, if let's say he didn't pay her yet, and now she claims in betin, he owes me a tle. Come on, tenli etnani, give me my etnan. We're not going to make him pay. You know why? Because the guy dies. The guy went with his mother, he's dying. So if he can't make the guy die and I'll pay. However, the law is, but when he does, if he did give it, the sheep is considered etnan. It's considered payment. Alma, so what do you see from here? Afilu b'mkom mita, even in a case where there's a death penalty, like this case, namer lamu tashlumin ala. There is an obligation for him to pay it, it's just that betin cannot enforce it. Ela she'en kawah le'oncho b'shtayim. We cannot punish him with two punishments. Aval yedesh shamayim lo yatza'at she'ishalem. But he doesn't fulfill his obligation until he pays. And I'll prove it to you, Rashi says. De'i lo ramu tashlumin ale, ki yehaved ni ale mihavi etnan, matana be'alma hu diyahiv le. Which is, if you didn't say that he was obligated to pay to a certain degree, when he gives the tleta, it should not be considered an etnan at all. That would be considered a matana. From the fact that you're saying that the etnan, when he does give it, even though he wasn't obligated, let's say from betin, but to settle himself from the shamayim, he's got to give it. So you see what? It's considered indeed an etnan. Oh, v'gabe chosem nameh sotu barikes av chasima. Nameh tashlumin ramu ale. He has to pay, which means the guy rented the animal. And he was chosem. He's going to get malkut. Betin can't force the guy to pay for the food that the animal was deprived of. But there's an obligation in Shamayim that he should make good on that deal. Ela she'en koach bebedin le'oncho shtayim. V'cheman deramut tashlumin aleh, but since the tashlumin is on him, lo yatzai yedeh chovato ad sheyishalem. Right? In a meh, if they gave it, if he paid it, they won't make him give it back. So you see that from Etnan, you see that, you're right, Beti cannot force it, but really it's still obligated. Again, the proof is from the fact that if he did pay it, it's called an Etnan. That means the payment was a payment. Otherwise you say, it's not, payment is not to mean anything. He's dying for going with his mother. Therefore it's considered Stam Matana. For the fact that he's still considered an Etnan, in the account. Similarly, Min HaShamayim, Rabbah says, he has to make the payment. Third answer. The Papa Amar, Mish'at Meshicha, Echayev La B'mezenotea, U'milka Lo Lake Ad Sh'at Hasima. Okay, new answer. When a guy rents an animal, the renter is obligated to feed the animal. That obligation comes immediately once he takes the animal. The Isur of Hasima doesn't come till later. So therefore, these things do not come at the same time. He's not getting whipped only for Hasima. The payment that he has to pay for the food is not because he muzzled it when it was working. You have to pay for the food because the second you grabbed it as a renter, you have to feed the animal. That obligation was on you beforehand. It's not a result of the Hasima. Till now we were learning, as a result of Hasima, you get Malkut, and because you deprived it for food when you were muzzling it, you had to pay for the food. No, you were obligated to pay the food the second you took your rent. The rent has to pay for the food. So the rabbis made a shi'ura, when a guy got rent per day, whatever it is, the animal's going to eat such and such amount. Look at Rashi, Rapapa Amar, it's not min hashamayim, according to the papa. I have to pay min adin. These two items did not come simultaneously. The time of the meshicha, he became chayav in the mezonot. That continues. Amar papa, hani mile ba'u minai debe rav papa bar abba. The students in the Midrash of Rav Papa Bar Abba asked me the following questions. Upeshati lehu le'esura. And all the questions they asked me, I told them, asur. Okay, one at a time. Hada kehilcheta. One, I was osered from the deen. Halakha is asur. The hada tenat kehilcheta. And one of them, I was mahmir. Yoter mishurat deen, I went. Right, because I didn't want them to become, mezalzel in Isur Torah. Okay, let's see them now. Ba'uminai, first question. Ma'u lalush ta'isa b'halav. Are you allowed to knead dough with milk? I mean, could you make dairy bread? U'peshati lihu l'isura kilcheta. And that's asur. That's according to the halakha. What halakha? The Tanya. You're not allowed to knead dough with milk. The im lash, and if you did it, kol apat asura, it's forbidden to eat. Mipnei hergel avera, because people assume that bread is pav. They're going to come to eat the bread now with meat. So therefore, the rabbi said you cannot do it. And if you did it, you cannot eat it. Kayotzebo, similarly. And tashin et tanur be'alya. They want to smear, let's say, the sides of the oven that they have with the fat of the tail of the sheep. Because what's going to happen? The bread that you're going to cook in that oven now is going to become meat. Just like you can have dairy bread, now you're going to have meat bread. Ve'im tash, and if you did it, kol apat kula. Asura, even to eat it alone, because we're worried he might eat the bread with milk. If he did put this stuff on the side of the oven, you got to burn out the oven, and so everything gets fired out, and that's asur, that's midrabanan. Okay, now let's read Rashi's. Kol ha-pat asura, v'afilu le'ukhla b'melach. Meaning, even if you want to eat it alone, just put some salt on it, eat it. You cannot. B'pnei hergel avera, shelo yochal basar ima. So you have bread with it, meat with it. Tashin tahin. Okay, good. No, it's a gezerah that you might come to eat with meat. It's a gezerah, you might come to eat with dairy. It's a gezerah. There's no isur intrinsically of putting milk in bread. Midrabanan, you might come to. The halakha does say, incidentally, that if you make a special shape that it's recognizable, that it is dairy, then it is okay. Idach. The next question I asked him was, ba'u minay, ma'u lachnis min v'she'enu mino ladir, which means, are you allowed to bring a male and a female, different species of animals, into a pen to be together? Is it a problem of harba'at kilayim? You're not allowed to breed mixed animals together. So we're putting a male and a female, could be it's a problem of cross-breeding, because you're putting them in the same pen. Or do you say no, until you actually put them on top of each other to make the isur? And I told them also, asur. But that one's delaf kelketa. That one is just a humrah. De'amar shemuel ubimena afim. Which means, let's say you have witnesses that are coming to testify on ni'uf, on somebody that's committing adultery. How do you give a testimony on such a thing? So Shemuel said, ad shira'u kederech hamena afim. All you have to see is, not the actual act itself, but that they're lying down next to each other the way people do ni'uf. You don't have to actually see the entry and you should see the people lying together in a way of ni'uf. That's already considered enough testimony to kill a no'if. So what do you see from here? Will be kil'ayim. When it comes to kil'ayim, ad shi'achnis kimichol b'shefuferet. Which means the isud of cross-breeding animals. Achi yachnis, you have to see the actual eved of the zachar enter the nekeva like the stick of the mascara that goes into the tube, kemechol b'shefaferet, like the stick that goes into. You have to actually see that. Then already it's going to be asud, which means you see that the isud of harba'a is really only at that level when it's actually put. In putting them in the same pen is really not a problem. But I was mahmir. He says that's no kilcheta. I was mahmir on them shelo kadin, because the deen really has got to be, actual. But he was mahmir on them. Look at Nashi. Nashi says ma'u lachnis ladir. Second word line. Mi avi kimarbiya kilayim olo adchi yohaz hu be'atzmo ever azachar biyachnis upashat lehu leisura shelo yezalzelu. במנאפים מעידים עליהם מעידים לחייבם מיתה ומלכות משישכבו זה על זה כדרך מנאפים ואין צריך לעדים שירו כמחול בשפופרת תלו איזכי קטן תורה להסתכל כל כך תורה doesn't mean it, I look so much therefore it's as long as you saw it out already, it looks like it, that's enough. בקלעיים אינו חייב עד שיכניס בידו עבר הזכר בנקבה כמחול בשפופרת, כדרך בני אדם להכניס מין במינו. מחול, להשיש איזה כיסם, זה כסטיק. או כנף שמכניסים בשפופרת, you put it in a tube. Right? The tube, the stick, you put in the tube. חלולה שהכחול לתוכה. The mascara is inside of it, the makeup. ומוציאים מן הכחול במחום אוויר על העין. You take it out and you put it on the eye. So you have to, it's a nice way of the Gemara saying the actual act of the bi'ah. Comes the Gemara and says a question. Mativ Rab Ahdeboy Bar Ameh. Rab Ahdeboy Bar Ameh Estan Shemuel. Ilu ne'emar behemtecha lo tarbiya. Without the word kil'ayim. It says behemtecha lo tarbiya kil'ayim. If the pasuk just would have said behemtecha lo tarbiya, hayiti omer lo ye'echoz adam habbehema, don't hold on to the horns of the behema, b'sha'a she'oleh aleha zachar, at the time that the zachar is going on the animal. That's what I have thought, that you shouldn't hold on to the lo yuchaz adam habbehema by the horns, when it's to hold it, so the animal of the zakhar will go over it. That's what I would have thought. Tamud lomar kilayim. So that's what the Quran comes and says, the word kilayim, which means the only isud is taking one mean and which means I wouldn't even think it was talking about two different species. If it just would have said b'mtechalot tarbiyah, would even the same species stam b'mtechalot, you cannot be involved when they're having a bi'ah. You cannot hold on to the nekevah with the horns and hold on to it at the time that the male is going on. That's why b'mtechalot tarbiyah stam, you cannot be involved in it. That's why the Torah says kilayim. What does kilayim teach me? Kilayim teach me? No, the only issue is when they're different species. Lav michlal de kilayim achiza namelo. Oh, so we should make a diuk over here that it's asur even that, which means by kilayim, real kilayim, different species, it's be asur to hold on to the horns and put it and let the animal. So you don't actually have to take the Eved and put it into the Trinidad Keba. You told me for my Kilayim, it's only a suit to actually take the Eved and put it in the Trinidad Keba. No, that's not enough. That's not the suit. The suit is even less than that. But I said, if it didn't say Kilayim, I just would have thought, well, you can't hold on to the horns of any animal when the Zakhar is going on it. Kilayim, teach me that's only a suit when it's a different species. But what's a suit? That's just to hold on to the horns. So you see, you don't actually have to.
I have even before that,
exactly. So how could Shmuel say the real white kilayim? That's nice, and only to actually put it in it. That's even less than that, right? So comes again, and says, "My achiza, hachnasa, oh, va'may kari leachiza, lishnah me'alia." Gemara says when it's said in the Mishnah of the Braita above, the language was. Lav mechlad diklaim achiza namelo. Achiza doesn't mean holding on to the horns. Achiza actually means entry, holding the eved, putting it in. So why'd you call it achiza? Because it wants to be lashon naki, a nice lashon. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda min bimino mutar lachnis kimechol b'shifofelet. Wow. Which means bimbimino, regular two animals, to take the eved of the zakhar and put it into the nekevah, no problem. And it's not even an enyan of lack of modesty or that it's going to cause a person to come to hidhudim, bad thoughts and stuff like that, no problem. My ta'ama ba'avidite tarid. He's working. His mind's not on this, thinking of these type of things. So on a min bimino, he'd even be allowed to take the eved and mate them. Rashi says, "Bottom Rashi on the daf, va'afilu mishum piritzuta en kan, mishum deshema yavoni deirhur. Davar, I'm worried. Maybe I start having bad thoughts. Keda amrinan lo yistakel b'hamor u'b'hamora, b'hazir u'b'hazira b'shashem mizdavgin. It's asur to look at animals when they are together. The Gemara says, 'Viniskakin zayim zedat and kishenu shelo. That's the way. It's not his animals. Shenu sarik l'sei, because he doesn't need the help." He's working. He's a farmer. He needs to breed his animals. Therefore, she says, "Ve'lo meharher." I'm not worried about their thoughts. Comes again and says, "Mativ rav achadei boi bar ame ilu ne'emar again b'emtecha lo tarbiya." Hayiti omer lo ye'echoz adam et behema kedei she'ale aleha hazachar tamud omar kilayim. Kilai muda asur. Ha min bimino shari. Umin bimino name achiza in hachnasa lo. Gemara is asking the same question. And they say, I guess, if what have just said, Beb dechalo tarbi, I would say you can't even hold on to the nikeba when the animal is going on. Kilai teaches me only by two different animals you can't do that. Oh, but by the same animals, you can't hold on to the nikeba. But to put it actually in. Asur, how could you tell me now that by two same animals, if you're the only, you can do it as much as you can? Can I give the same answer? My achiza hachnasa. When it says hold on to it, it meant actually put it in. My kari le'achiza. So why does it say hold on to it? Lishna me'elya. It's using a nice nicer mashon. So therefore, it would be permissible for an owner that's working. Because again, always the rule is when a guy's working, you're thinking about your work. You're not thinking about...
Why can't I course feed my animals?
It's all from the Torah. That's kelayim. No. There's kelayim by begadim, there's kelayim in the fields, there's kelayim by behemah. Then I want you to course breed. God made the world a certain way.
But even the horns are...
No.
That's when they're not yours.
No. When it's your animal, you're allowed to take the eved of min bimino and breed it, no problem, because you're not going to think of bad things. When it's different animals, not only that's going to be asud, it's going to be asud even to hold on to the...
No, but what is...
That's what we thought. But kamashman kamas, no, it means to actually do
it. It's
not
for the
hirud. It's a sud. No, besides hirud, but you probably have a sud of hirud also. But there's an extra sud of kilayim when I'm doing crossbreeding.
From that, Ravashe Hamilta Baruminai Deber of Nehemia Res Geluta. Yehuda says this question was asked by the family of Rav Nehemia, was the Ros Galut, head of the ex of Babel. Ma'u lachnis min umino v'she'en umino ladir.
You bring two species that are alike and one that's not alike. You want to put them in the same pen. I could argue and say, well, the min will go with the mino.
Van di ika mine.
I could argue, since the female has its species there, this is zachar, but the mine will go after the male. So if it's not going to go after the other species, maybe I can say no. Maybe it's a problem. Again, he said it's asur. Oh, which means we were concerned about the piritzut of the slaves of the exilog of the reshkiluta. Why? The slaves were parutz people. We're worried if they have three together, they're going to go be adayim and take the zakhar of one mean and put it in the nekevah of the different mean. We don't want it to be together. Not because it's really asur, but you're going to allow this, it's going to lead to piritzut by the workers. Just let's catch up in Rashi on the top. No Rashi's. We continue with the Mishnah. We are discussing again over the subject of a po'el. A po'el is a worker that's working in the field, so the Torah gives him privileges that he's able to eat from the fruit while he's working the field. So the Mishnah now is going to continue giving us some of the laws surrounding that halakha of a po'el, a worker, eating from the product while he's working. So the Mishnah says, let's say the worker was working with his hands. I guess he was plucking fruit. But he wasn't using his legs. Or the opposite. He was using his legs in the work, but he was not using his hands. For example, he was, let's say, stepping on the grains or something like that, pressing the wine. The worker is stepping on the wine. Afilu beketefo. Even if, let's say, he's not using not his hands and not his legs, he's using his shoulders. Let's say he's carrying something. That's still considered a worker that gives him rights to eat. He says, no. A worker that we're talking has to work beyadav v'raglav. Rashi says v'afilu beketefo in the top line of Rashi, de'eno maziz yadav v'raglav. He's not moving his hands and legs. According to Tana Kama, he's working with his shoulders. He still has the right to eat. Comes again and says, my tama, what's the reason that if he's not working even with his hands or legs, what's the reason why the Torah gives him? Why we say it's allowed for him to eat? Because the pasuk says ki tavo bekerem re'echa. Bechol my David doesn't say what he's doing. He goes into his friend's vineyard and he works. Doesn't say which body parts is he using to work. Therefore, whatever he does is considered okay. The Yosef to be with Elmed Ach Yosef Yadav Uberag Lav. So, comes the Gemara and says, my Tama. What's the reason that the Yosef to be with that Kishor? Because we compare the law of a worker to the law of the ox when it is also threshing. Mashor Ach Yosef Yadav Uberag Lav. We know a shor, what's the law of hasima? The law that you can't muzzle a shor when it's working, you have to let it eat. Well, a shor has four legs. Two of them are considered yadayim, and two of them are considered naglayim. So it's working with two hands and two legs. Af po'el achi yasebi yadav v'raglav. So to the po'el is like the hamo, because we made a kekesh between the hosem and the chsam. So therefore, so he has to work with his hands and legs. So comes the Gemara and says, ba'e rabba ma'ravuna. Dash ba'avazim v'tannegolim l'Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda mahu. Let's say you're using geese or chickens.
They only have legs. They don't have hands. The animal, I guess the front two is considered its hands and the back two are considered its legs. But over here, a chicken or a goose only has 2 feet. So therefore, what would you say if, let's say, you're using an animal, let's say, like that, that's threshing or doing work, so can you muzzle it or not? Because it's not doing Yadav V'Nayim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that holds, got to be Yadav V'Naglav. Let's say you have an animal that doesn't have Yadav V'Naglav, what are you going to say? So Gemara gives two sides. Now, Bechol Kocho Ba'inan Da'ika. No, you have to use all your koach. And in the case of the chicken, he's using all his koach. That's all he has. So he's using full capacity. Therefore, it'd be Asur to Muslim. Odilma Be'Yadav V'Naglav Ba'inan V'Aleka. Maybe no, Yadayim Raglayim you need, and it doesn't have it. Therefore, there's no Yisur of no Tachsom. Gemara leaves that in a Tiku for the Yahweh Navi. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Abu, Po'alim, workers, Ad Shelo Hilchu, Sheti Ve'erev Begat, Ochlim, Anavim, Ve'en Shotim Yayin, Mishihalchu Sheti Ve'erev Begat, Ochlim Anavim, Ve'shotim Yayin. Jeez, they would put the grapes on the ground, and then the workers would, let's say, walk across, right? Go across and then go the other way, like an X, or walk across. Sheti ve'erev. Sheti is, let's say, up down and then across. So until they actually go up down and across when they're pressing the grapes, they'll only be able to eat grapes. The process of making the wine only begins when they go and they crisscross. So then already it's considered they're working and making the wine. Then they can start drinking the wine. Look at that sheet. So third line. Darkan natil anavim alagat. They put the anavim, the grapes, on the press. V'dorchin beraglehen alagat. They press it. They step on it with their feet. V'ad shelo hilchu ba'shiti ve'erev. Until they started walking up and across, en melachtam nikirit b'yayin. Their work hasn't started yet in the wine making. Therefore, they can only eat grapes, because they only worked with grapes so far. Ela ba'anavim nefiket shotin yayin. David ha'oseh b'min zeh ve'ochel b'min afer. The rule is, and we're going to see now in the Gemara also, that if you're working on one species of fruit, you're not allowed to eat a different species. So if you're working on grapes, you can't drink wine. So therefore, until he starts to actually work on the wine pressing, he can't drink wine. When is it considered he started on the wine pressing? Once he goes up and across, meaning he walked up and he walked across, now he's really pressing them, now already he qualifies for drinking of the wine. Comes the next Mishnah. Haya oseh bete'enim. Okay, he's working with figs. Lo yochal ba'anavim. He shouldn't eat grapes. Ba'anavim, he's working with grapes. Lo yochal b'te'enim. Aval moneya et atzmo ad shemagia lemkom yafot ve'ochel. As we learned earlier, that he can delay his eating until he gets to the best areas where, let's say, the sun strikes the fruit, where the most sweet and tasty is. So he can limit himself in one area to eat all the fruit in a different area. And she says, "Ve'ochel kol achilato mehen," and then he can eat all his eatings over there. Which means he doesn't have to eat davka, you know, spread it out. He can wait for the best spots and eat all his eatings over there. Ve'chulan, however, in all these cases, lo amru ela b'shat melacha. That this is all talking where they allow him to eat. That's only talking about while he's actually involved in working. Rashi, ve'chulan lo amru shiyochal. Ela b'sha'a shu osek b'melacha ve'lo shiyeshev lo v'yochal. Not that he was in the middle of the work, he sits down and starts eating. Lomar hare manat ya'atzmi ad kan. We don't want him to rush and say, listen, I worked till now and I didn't take a break and now I want to sit and eat like a person. Lo bitalti le'echon akshav v'shev li le'echon. Now I want to sit down and eat. No, we don't say that. We say that he can only eat while he's actually working, while he's on the move. But for him to just go work and not eat and then take the grapes and then just sit down and say, well, I'm taking my time now just to sit down instead of doing it while I'm working. No, only the time is to eat is while he's actually working. Aval, however, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mishum hashev aveda leba'alim. In order to limit the loss of money, they're calling it hashev aveda. We don't want the owner of the field to lose. So in order we did for that, Amru, the rabbis made a takana. What's takana they made? Po'alim ochlim ba'alichatan me'omen le'omen. Which means they eat when they're going from one row to another row. Which means when they finished the work, let's say, in one row, now they're walking from one area to another area. So they said, you know what, we don't want the
the owner to lose out now, and the guy's eating while he's working, it takes time from the Baal HaBayit. So he says, you know what? Eat while you're walking from one road to the other, so it's less bitul melacha. Look at Rashi. Aval mepnei hashav aveda lebaalim shelo yibatem melakto v'yochal. Amru Rashi poalim ochlim balichet ameuman leoman. Kesegamlu shura zu, when they finish one row, v'ochim natchil b'chavet, and they're going to start the next row. Next row. V'afal gav da'i shata lav shat melachahi. Now, even though when you're walking from road to road, that's really considered shat melacha, nichale the Baal HaBayit beha. The Baal HaBayit doesn't mind if you eat in that area over there, because you're really not involved in working. You're really just walking from road to road. So therefore, the rabbis made a takana that instead of eating exactly while he's on the job, they'd rather him eat in the as he's walking from one place to another place. Comes the Mishnah and concludes. Ubahamor kishi poreket. Literally means, huh? And also when they're returning from the press. Ubahamor kishihu poreket. And a hamor, we said you're not allowed to muzzle it. So it says that you're not allowed to muzzle it even when it is unloading. Even when you're unloading the animal, we don't know what this means. We have to wait for the Gemara to explain what does it mean when you're unloading the animal that the hamor can eat. So we will start the Gemara. The Gemara begins, Ibaya lehu, we have a question. Ose begefen ze, maush yochal begefen ahed. He's working grapes. So is he permissible, for example, to, let's say he's cutting from certain grapes that he's working on, and he wants to eat better grapes from a different vine. He's working on a vine that's less valuable, but it's still grapes. Amishnah said you can't go from grapes to figs and figs to grapes. But here I'm going from grapes to grapes. Just I'm not working on those grapes necessarily. I'm working on a cheaper vine. But I want to eat the fruits from a better vine. Look at Rashi. Mao shiyochal begefen acher. Shiyakutz eshkol gefen yafeh. V'yelech lemakom shu oseh sham v'yochal. Let me go take the better grapes and bring them to the place where I'm working. And I'll eat them over there. Is that permissible or not? That's the Gemara's question. So Kemara says, now, what are the two sides? Mimin she'atan noten lekelyos shel Baal HaBayit ba'inan ve'ha'ika. Do you go after the species? Bottom line, the species that I'm putting in the Baal HaBayit's vessel is grapes. So therefore, I go after the species. I'm eating grapes. Do you say that? That goes after the species? Or dilma mima she'atan noten lekelyos shel Baal HaBayit ba'inan ve'ha'ika. Or do you look at it more specifically? Do you say, no, it's what I'm putting in the Baal HaBayit's basket I can eat from. And in this case, it's not so, because you're putting one group and you're eating from a different. So that's the two sides. Is it the species or is it the actual item itself that you're working on? So comes the Gemara and says, V'imtim selomar. And if you want to tell me, Oseh begefen ze, lo yochal begefen acher. You want to tell me that that's the deen. That what? If you're eating from this grape, you cannot eat from a different vine. Shor b'mechubar hechi achil. When you have a shor that's eating from mechubar, we learned earlier that a shor, while it's threshing, it's able to eat even from mechubar, from things that are attached. Dashi v'i amart lamba li l'mib'eh leha pshita de'ochel. For sure you have to tell me that she says that you should be able to eat from one species, you know, even though it's the grapes that you're not working on, it should be permissible. Because if you tell me he can't, shor b'mechubar. The rabbinan le'el de'achil, we learned above, we included that a shor can eat from mechubar, hechi achil. Hare melechet shor b'mechubar. I efshar lo le'echol migefen shu oseba. Sha'are kashur letzemed lefnei agala. The animal itself is tied to the wagon, you know, that's that he's pulling. Vabotzrim osim begefen she'etzel agala. The guys that are plucking the grapes, they pluck the grapes, you know, as they're walking with the animal. The notnam ba'agala, and they put it in the agala. So now, how is the animal going to eat? He cannot reach those grapes, which means the worker in front of the animal, he's pulling the grapes off. So how are you going to tell me that he can eat from that tree? Ela must be he's eating from somewhere else that he can get to. So must be that you're allowed to work one area and eat from another area. Because the animal, when he's working in the field, what happens, he's attached to a yoke, okay? And there's an agara behind him. And there's a botzer, there's a picker that's in front of him. And the picker is picking grapes from the trees. This animal cannot eat from those trees. He can't reach it. So he must be eating from trees that are next to him. So you see, as long as it's the same species, it's okay. It doesn't have to be from the actual ones that he's working on. So the Gemara says, no, that if that's your proof, you have no doubt. Yeah, I can give you a case. Amar Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Besharcha. That's Besharcha. It's a long twig. Long vine. Rashi. Do we have a Rashi? Imishumha lo tefshot Amar Rav Shisha Besharcha Bizmora Aruka Meod Umagat Adifne Hashor. So the Zimora, the vine, is very long. So the same vine that the guy is plucking from, the shor is eating from, so therefore you don't have a problem of eating from one area when it's working on a different area. So therefore, that's why you have no da'ya. So the Gemara is still back to the question. Tashema, how Mishnah? Haya ose bete'enim. The guy was working on figs. Lo yochal ba'anavim. Oh, so the Gemara makes a diyuk.
Yeah.
Figs to grapes. No good.
Ha te'enim v'te'enim dumya de te'enim v'anavim ochel.
But to go from figs to figs, similar to the figs to the grape case, would be permissible. Now, figs to grape was you're working on one item, so you can't eat from the item because it's two different species. But I'd be able to go from figs to figs in the same case where I'm working on one group of figs to eat a different set. So you see over here that what? As long as it's the same species, it's okay. Right? That's the proof.
So look at Rashi. Let's just catch all the Rashi.
You're working on this fig and you're eating the other ones.
Gemara says, no.
If you're going to tell me that if I'm working on one area, I can't eat from another area, how do you have the case of te'enim, eating from these te'enim and I can eat from different te'enim?
So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shisha b'Rav Idi b'mudlit.
Another case of mudlit. What is the case of mudlit? Interesting case that she says, big Rashi.
Amar Rav Shisha b'Rav Idi le'olam tarvayu ba'inan.
Oh, the Gemara is going to say, you know what? I'll tell you, maybe you need both items.
Mimin umima.
You need to be from the same species and from what you are working on. Which means really, only the grapes that you're actually putting in the basket from that tree or from that vine that you can eat from. Oh, but it's mashpah from the Mishnah we just read. Te'enim, te'enim. I can eat from the figs over here to the figs over there.
So that she's going to tell you, Va'ad yisrich limitni te'enim va'anavim.
That which the Mishnah said, that you're able to eat figs from figs to grapes, you're not allowed to go v'dayakt, and you made a diyuk.
Ha, te'enim, v'te'enim, ochel.
So you made a diyuk, oh, figs to figs, you're allowed.
B'te'ena hamudelet ala gefen.
The case is talking where the fig is, the tree of the fig is like overhanging over the vine. So they're covering. So you have the fig and a vine intertwined. They wrap together over each other. Or the opposite. Or gefen mudelet ala te'ena. Or a grapevine on the fig. Same case.
Vashmi'inan. And here's the hadush.
Haya ose b'min zeh. If let's say you're working on one species,
lo yochad b'min acher, ve'afalgav dehavi asuk b'shnehem.
But even though technically you could argue, what do you mean? I'm working on the grapes, but in this case over here, in order to get to the grapes, I got to move the figs. So technically you could argue, I'm really working on both of them.
Shareh sarich lagbiya ulafrid anafim shel zeh mizeh.
But don't you have to separate them to get to it?
Kishu chotech umihu. Lo mimin she'ata notenhu.
But bottom line, it's not from the species that you're putting in the basket. Therefore, even though you're moving the figs away, I don't care. That's not the item that you're putting in the basket.
Ha te'enim v'te'enim.
Oh, implication. But if it was figs,
the figs, meaning, dumya dehani, kegon, המודלת על חברתה, let's say they were resting on each other, אין צריך להבחין מאיזה מהן יאכל, דממין שאתה נותן, וממה שאתה נותנו, דבשניהם הוא עסוק. Which means when it comes to te'enim ve'te'enim, which means you have two fig trees that are now intertwined with each other. So now the guy's working on the fig trees, so therefore in that case over there, will allow you to eat from the figs because it's from what you're putting in the basket, and it's from what you are working on, because you're working on both of them, and because you're moving them and you're cutting, and it's the same item, so therefore it's okay. Which is te'enim and anavim, when they were on top of each other, then we're going to say only what you're putting in the basket. Which means te'enim, yeah, but not, don't rash on the side. I can eat anavim also because I'm working on anavim. How are you working on anavim? I got to move the anavim out of the way, so I'm working on anavim. No, but if it's te'enim and te'enim, meaning be'mudelet, when it's on top of each other, in that case, I'll let you eat the te'enim because you're working on them, and that's what you're putting in the basket. So with the olam, I play, you need both sides. You need mima and you need mimin. It's got to be from the same species and the item that you're actually working. So therefore, you have no ra'aya from our Mishnah that you can work on figs over here and eat figs from over there. The te'enim and te'enim is about where they're on top of each other. And so they're on top of each other, so you're working them, and that's what you're putting in the basket as well. So therefore, you have no ra'aya that I can eat from here and work from over there. B'shnehem hu osek, Rashi says he's asu. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, aval moneya et atzmo ad shemagia limkom hayafot ve'ochel. We learned in our Mishnah that he's able to hold back, refrain himself from eating, till he gets to the best spots in the field and the fruits are the most delicious, and he can eat from over there. V'i amart ose begefen ze, ochel begefen acher. If you're telling me that it's permissible to go from one vine and eat from a different vine, nizil v'niti v'nichol, let him go over there and get them, which means, why did you tell me that he's got to wait? Let him go there first. Let him pick from the place where he didn't even start working and bring it to the area where he's working. If you tell me that as long as it's the same species, you tell him, oh, let him refrain. When he gets there, he'll eat from over there. Why do you got to wait? Let him go take from there. So it's the same species. Okay, it works over here and eats from over there. Let him do that. So the fact that he told me he cannot do that, so you see that you cannot go me. Means there and eat from a different, the same species from a different place. So give us none. You have no raya from that. Really, I'll tell you, it could be that would be permissible, but it's asu for a different reason. Hatam mishum bitul melacha. Lo kame ba'ayalan. That's not a question, of course. Where the guy now is hired to work, because he's going to start walking a mile to the end of the field to get the better fruit, that's taking time. Of course, I'm going to ask that. When it's going to involve bitul melacha, for sure it's going to be asud. Our question was, say his wife and kids are there. So it's not going to involve any bitul melacha. His wife and kids are not working for the balabai. He'll tell his wife and kids, do me a favor, I'm working on these grapes, but there's much better grapes over there. Go over there and bring me the grapes. That's our question. Of course, if he himself to go over there, we have no she'ela, that's going to take precious time for the balabai. But in the case, let's say it's not going to be bitul melacha, like in the case I just told you. Well, he's working on the grape section over here, and he tells his wife, there's better grapes down the block and down the field. Go over there and get it to me. Well, what's the deal? Could you eat from one to the other? Good. So comes the Gemara and says, look at Rashid. Rashid says, Ishto ubanav mahu, shelon niskiru etzel ba'alabayit. They weren't hired. They come might to there, and they're bringing him. Mai, tashema. So comes the Gemara and says, v'chulam, in all these cases, lo amru ela bishpat melacha. Right, all these cases, we said what? He can eat while he's working. Aval, however, b'pnei hashav aved ale ba'alim, but because we don't want the ba'alim to lose, you know, time and money, amru, the rabbi said, po'alim ochlim b'halichatan, me'uman le'uman, u'b'hazilatan minagat. That they should eat only when they're going from row to row, in between the, you know, the actual plucking, and when they're returning from the press. That's the enactment of the Hakamim. Sevaruha. So the rabbis of the Beit HaMidrash started to analyze, and they said, Mehalech ke'ose ma'ase damer. That really, when the guy's walking from row to row, that's still considered that he's involved in work. That's considered ose melacha. Look at Rashi. Ke'ose ma'ase damer. Ve'yeshto le'echol.
really, he should have every right to eat when he's going from row to row, because the Torah allows him to eat when he's working. And still, ilav de tikun le rabbanan. If it wasn't for this takana that the rabbis made, dini chale le ba'al habayit, that the ba'al habayit's okay with it, mideoraita lo achil. From the Torah, without this rabbinical enactment, the workers would not be allowed to eat. Mipnei shalichatot sorech gefen sheholech etzlahu. Because when he's walking to the next vine, that's considered working for the next vine. So the Torah would not allow him to eat the grapes that he picked from the last vine. Because that would be considered working in vine A and eating from vine B that he finished already. So if it wasn't for this enactment of the rabbis, you see, Torah law would say it is indeed forbidden. That she... He already is eating from the grapes that he cut already. Get to the ayah good. The Gemara's ayah is based on a few facts. Number one, when the rabbis enacted, when you're going from row to row, you can eat. Smashma, from the Torah, you will not be allowed to eat. But the rabbis came along and said, you know what? Baal Abayit doesn't mind if you eat from row to row. That's better. But but Torah would say no. The rabbis enacted this. Why would Torah say no? Because must be at the time of the walking to the next row, that's work. What's work? Yeah, I'm working now to cut the grapes of the next row. Don't eat from the grapes of before, because it's oseh begefen zeh, ve'okel nigefen acher. So you see, mina Torah, you can't work, be involved in working on one and eat from the other. That's the Gemara says. Let's read it inside. Gemara says, "Umishum Hashem aveda lebaalim hudachil mideoraita lo achil." But from the Torah, he would not eat. Alma ose begefen ze'enu ochel begefen acher. So the Gemara says, no proof, lo. Le'olam emalach ose begefen ze'ochel begefen acher. I can really tell you that you're working on one grape, you can eat from the vines of a different place. Umehalech lav ke'ose ma'aseh damit. And I'll tell you that the chidush is that that's not considered working. Once you finish one section and you're walking to the next section, that's not considered working. I don't start the work of the new section till I get there. So therefore, of course, I can eat from the old grapes. That's she in the bottom. Hilkach ilo mipnei Hashabbat aveda. If it wasn't for Hashabbat aveda, that the rabbis were concerned about the work of the Baal HaBayit, lo avele lemechal, which means he would not really be allowed to eat because he's really not working. The Torah only allows the poel to eat while he's working, not when he's not working. But you know what? The Achamim came along and said the Baal HaBayit would rather him eat the stuff when he's walking between the vines, so it doesn't take up his time, than to eat while he's actually doing work. But really, it's not work. So therefore, he's really eating from the stuff that he just took care of. He's not eating from one while he's working on another. So you have no da'ayah. Understand the enactment of the Hakamim. Hakamim said, really, he's only allowed to eat when he works. That's the Torah law. You're not working. No eating. And you know what? Really going from row to row, it's not working. Once he's finished plucking grapes and then he's walking to the next spot, he's off. That's off time. So technically, he should not be allowed to eat at that time. But the rabbi said, you know what? Better to eat at that time, because the Baal HaBayit said, let him eat there. I don't care if he eats there. That's great. It's not taken away from my time. But you have no da'ayah that you could be working on, you could work on one vine and eat from another, because you're not working on a new vine yet. Therefore, you're eating from the old that you did already. So that we have no ayah that you could be working on vine A and eat from vine B. Now the Gemara is going to say the same sivarot that we just said, just reverse. Ika de amre, there's another version of this last conversation that we had. Sivaruha, the Gemara thought to say. Mehalech lav ke'oseh ma'aseh damer. Okay, the Gemara starts off this version, the opposite. That we thought that when a guy's going from vine to vine, he's not working. It's not considered working. V'hainu ta'ama. And the logic is, d'midoraita lo achil. And that's why from the Torah law, he's not allowed to eat. Mishum de lav ke'oseh ma'aseh damer. Because he's not involved in work.
ha ose maase. Oh, so we would imply that if exactly considered working achil medoraita, would be able to eat medoraita. Alma ose begefen ze ochel begefen acher. Only because this is not considered work. That's why kidding. But if it was considered work, he'd be allowed to eat, even though he's working from. He eating from one, he's working on another. Proof. Kabbalah goes, no, I go the other way. Le'olam, emalach, oseh begefen ze, eno ochel begefen ahayet. I could argue and tell you that if you're working on one gift, you cannot eat from the other gift. Umehalech ke oseh ma'aseh dameh. And I'll tell you that the guy walking from vine to vine is considered working. And therefore, really, if he's considered working, so then why could he eat? So that's why he could eat. But look at the top of the sheet. Mafidu achi ilav mishum hashabbat aveda lo achil. If it wasn't from the rabbinical enactment, he would not be allowed to eat. Which means, really, I'll tell you that going from vine to vine is considered keosem maaseh dameh. He's considered working. Also, if he's considered working, so therefore. He should be able to eat. No, he would not be allowed to eat. You know why? Because you can't eat from place to place. You're still working. You plucked over here grapes, and now you're working on vine number two from the Torah. You would not be allowed to eat. Also, why is that? Only because the rabbis made a takana. But you see, from Torah law, you cannot work from one vine and eat from a different. So therefore, both scenarios, the Gemara does not have a conclusive proof over here how you look at this grape, and therefore really the Gemara leaves it in a quandary. Comes the Gemara and continues. Last point of our Mishnah. What do we say? Uba hamor kishu poreket. We said by the hamor, he's able to eat. Now, hamor always is the muzzling factor, right? So the hamor is able to eat when the owner is unloading the animal. Now, the Gemara wants to understand, obviously there's food on the animal. Okay, the case over here has food on the animal. It seems that the animal somehow has access to eat from the food when he's carrying it, okay? So maybe it's overhanging over him, he's able to turn his neck and eat from it. So the Gemara says, by the way, you can't even muzzle him when you're being porek, when you're taking the stuff off. So the Gemara says, Kishihi poreket mehechan achla. When you're taking it off, where's he going to eat from? Meaning, it seems there's a bale of hay or straw or wheat. When you take it off, you take it off in one shot. Where's he eating from? Where's he eating? If the guy takes everything in one shot, there's nothing to eat with it. You can't muzzle him when you're unloading. What muzzle is? There's nothing to eat. Look at Nashi. Nashi says, Kishihi poreket mehechan achla. Kol masa'a purka bevatachat. Ve'olchin, he take the whole masa in one shot, and the guy goes. So what's the? The man has access to eat. So Gemara says, "Ema ad shetehe poreket," until you unload, which means the whole time that the animal is traveling until you get to the stage of unloading, the animal is able to eat from the stuff that it is carrying. Rashi says, "Bahalichata," when it's walking, ochelet memasui she'al gaba. It's able to eat from the load that's on its back. The Gemara says, "Tanina leha detanur banan." We have a din from this following brayta: Hamor vegamal. Let's say you have a donkey or a camel that was rented. Malabite rented it. Ochlim memasui she'al gabehen. Oh, so the animal is able to eat from the load that is on its back. But he cannot take from the fruit and actually give it to them. Which means, let's say you have the animal is rented, and now the guy's carrying perot for somebody. So while he has to let him eat from the perot, but he can't take from the perot and put it in the animal's mouth, because then he's going to lose the perot of the owner. He doesn't own the perot. He owns the animal. He's doing a delivery. So the perot not his. So now he cannot take from the perot and now stick it in the animal's mouth over there. Because in the isur of lo tachsom, all it says is that you have to let it eat. But it doesn't say you have to actually feed it. Right? So therefore the deen is, let the fruit stay on the back. As long as it has access to it, fine. But you don't have to actually, if you look at Ashi says, nothing. That's the way it is. So clearly you see what?
But what's the proof of this braita? The proof of the braita is that when the animal's walking, it has rights to eat. Yeah, once it stops and start unloading, then of course, then already there's no deal of lotas, because there's no access to it anyway. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.